the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Evening, everyone. How are we doing? Lovely, good. Well, let's hope that continues. Otherwise, it's going to feel like a long 15 minutes, isn't it? The prospect of coming to you this evening to talk about prayer initially filled me with unease. Not a reflection on you, but a reflection on a lot of the teaching I've received or seen over the years when it comes to prayer. Throughout my Christian journey, many of the books I've read or the talks I've heard, they could be boiled down to this, I think, lie that I think has pervaded in many parts of Christian culture, I think particularly recently, which is this sentiment of, I've spent decades perfecting prayer, and if you want to perfect your prayer life, just pray like I pray. And I'm like, well, I've got about two-ish decades of scraping by when it comes to prayer. What have I got to offer you? And I think it's a counter to that lie that there is a proper way to pray. There are helpful ways and true ways and deep ways to pray. And it's not all about preference. It is about effort. But there is variety there. Now, I want to do a quick poll to kind of make my point. Can you put your hands up if you've got blue eyes? Great, pop your hands down. Put your hand up if you are musically gifted. Fewer hands up. If Laura closes her eyes, will more people creep their hands up? Okay. Who here is naturally an optimist, a glass half full kind of a person? Okay. God has made us all so different, with our bodies, our skills, our personalities. I think it would be ridiculous to think that he's given us all the same spiritualities as well. And I think when we read the Bible, we see this plethora of spirituality and ways of engaging with God. And I think this is particularly the case with prayer. I think one of the great unfortunate things that has happened kind of within the broader church is that churches seem to have grouped themselves around a particular kind of spirituality. And I'm really glad that in a church like ours, we have more variety than most. But before we dive into the main thrust of what I want to talk about, I want to talk about kind of what prayer is, like in as short a summary as possible. John Mark Comer describes prayer as the way we cultivate our friendship with Jesus. Just like any relationship that we have in our lives, it's about quality time and conversation. I think if you went a week without talking to your spouse or someone else in your household or any friends, you'd probably start to feel disconnected. And the same is true with our relationship with God. And in the first part of our passage today, Jesus teaches us to avoid two things when it comes to prayer. Public performative prayer, that's no good. You're doing that pridefully. You're not doing that for God. That's not benefiting your relationship. And he tells us also to avoid pagan-style babbling prayers where we just throw loads of words at it, but perhaps it has no meaning. Instead, Jesus teaches us, and he models this, we know, find a private place and speak simply to our Father. And I think it's that, and the rest of my time is going to be unpacking some different ways that you can do that. And I think that we are made to pray differently. And I think that is a beautiful thing, as we are a diverse collection of God's children. And I think it collectively is a blessing for one another. As I've mentioned earlier, learning to pray does take time. It takes effort and it takes practice. It is a discipline of being a disciple. But trying to pray in a way that God has not made you is going to, like Rose running the half marathon, but with her shoes on the wrong feet, unnecessarily uncomfortable. That's why we're going to the beach. So I mentioned I've come across lots of not super helpful things about prayer, but one thing which has fundamentally shaped my understanding and practice of prayer is a talk from my youth that I received from Lyndall Bywater. She's worked with Salvation Army, 24/7 prayer, and spoken widely on the topic of prayer. This picture of the beach is hers, and my attempt to condense it and apply it to the Lord's Prayer, I hope will do it justice. And I hope it will give you a pointer, some avenues of inquiry for you to explore in your own time. Her idea is that there are four potential prayer styles, perhaps overlapping, and there's different characters that we're going to meet at our beach that will help us to explore what these might be. Repeatedly throughout, I'm going to try and see how the different characters might approach the Lord's Prayer in a way that is good for them. So first, I want to introduce you to the sunbather. Imagine you're on a beach, lying still, relaxing, soaking in the sun's warmth. The first prayer style is that of the sunbather. And for a sunbather prayer, prayer is primarily about being in God's presence, knowing him more deeply. You're naturally meditative, reflective. You find time and quietness helpful, whereas rushing or little detail or lists are unhelpful. In scripture, we could look to... Yes, in scripture, we could look to Luke 10, where we see Mary versus Martha, and Jesus talks of Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, spending time in his presence. Or Psalm 46:10, the beautiful sentiment of be still and know that I am God. So when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, perhaps a sunbather might work through the prayer slowly, meditating on each line, perhaps really dwelling on the relational aspect of it, of our Father. Or perhaps dreaming about what God's kingdom coming to earth might look like. If you're a sunbather, maybe this sentiment from Augustine might suit you particularly. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Our next character of the beach is the surfer. Surfers ride the waves of the ocean, the wind in their hair. Surfer prayers are geared towards finding and connecting with God in the world around them, experiencing God with their senses. If you're a surfer, you engage in prayer creatively, being outside or doing something practical. You probably find stillness and silence or repetition not particularly helpful. In scripture, we often see Simon Peter engaging with the Lord as he's out fishing, out on the water. The example here is Jesus called out to them, "Friends, haven't you caught any fish?" That's how they kind of built much of their relationship. Perhaps the sentiment from Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands." Now, for surfers, they might find it helpful to build the Lord's Prayer into their daily rhythm. Perhaps praying it through on their commute to work, thinking and joining those connections between what they're doing and what your kingdom come might mean. Perhaps going on a prayer walk and seeing the world around them and seeing where God needs to act. Or maybe specifically attaching parts of the prayer onto the tangible bits of their life. Maybe putting a quote, about for daily bread, praying for daily bread on the fridge. So they pray as they eat and prepare their food. Pete Gregg quotes the Trappist monk Thomas Merton, and I think this is a bit of a surfer sentiment. God is far too real to be met anywhere other than in reality. What's the best bit about going to the beach on a hot day? It's getting an ice cream. I want you to picture an ice cream giving out ice creams from their van or their kiosks. One for you, one for you, one for you. If you're an ice cream seller prayer, prayer is primarily about caring for people and bringing them before God. For you, prayer is about getting a kingdom job done. You make specific requests to God and you expect to see answers to them. Being specific and informed is helpful for you. Abstract concepts, less so. I get the impression that Paul might have been an ice cream seller. How many times does he include in his New Testament letters, "I'm praying for you"? One example in Ephesians is Ephesians 1:16. "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." How often in Paul's letters does he mention one name and then he remembers another name and he feels like he needs to cover them all? He's very relational and that shapes his prayer life. So what might... Psalm 17, again, I think this is a bit of an ice cream prayer sentiment. "I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer." So what does the Lord's Prayer look like for ice cream sellers? Well, you probably find the structure of the Lord's Prayer pretty helpful. And you might use each line as a hook for intercession. You might have prayer requests. You might have a journal where you write down what you've asked for and you write down what you've seen God do. You've signed up to all of the circulations and ministry notes, and prayer Thursdays are probably your bag, absolutely. I think Archbishop William Temple, he might have been an ice cream seller. He had a very pithy quote: "When I pray, coincidences happen, and when I don't, they don't." And our final character at the beach is the snorkeler. Diving deeper, exploring the seabed, peering into rock pools. For snorkelers, prayer is about discovery, finding out more about the things of God. Your prayers are stimulated by unpicking scripture, exploring theology, discussion, and embracing and holding doubt. You allow the questions that you've got to float to the surface and you hold them. Things that will be unhelpful for you will be suppressing those questions and suppressing those doubts, or perhaps notes that are closed-ended and have definitive answers. We perhaps see this in the New Testament with that scholastic exchange between Nicodemus and Jesus in John 3. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. That perhaps is the snorkeler mantra. Or Psalm 25, verse 5. "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long." Snorkelers might pray the Lord's Prayer, but perhaps draw out other bits of scripture that it leads them to. You might wrestle with in prayer that you're asking God's kingdom to come, but it never fully does, at least not yet. For you, there might be a porous line between discussion and prayer. But you also might find comfort and refuge from the questioning that you have in the firm truths that, like, yours is the kingdom, power, and glory. I suspect C.S. Lewis was a snorkeler. I've got a small bit of his quote there, and the full quote, which I'll read, a little bit dated, but you'll get the idea. "I believe that many who find that nothing happens when they sit down or kneel down to a book of devotion would find that their heart sings unbidden while they're working their way through a tough bit of theology with a pipe in their teeth and a pencil in their hand." Smoking hills, but yeah. Jesus saved, so I guess it balances out. Over the years, I've revisited Lyndall's beach analogy. I think it's a great encouragement to pray to our strengths, but she's forthcoming in her challenge to each character at the beach, to each of us, to find a way into those elements of the discipline of prayer that might not come naturally. That there will be a way of doing those things that works for you. So it's not just about staying in our comfort zones, but treading into those places that, as I say, might not come so naturally. Sunbathers need to work on praying for others, potentially. Surfers do need to practice stillness from time to time. Ice cream sellers need to learn to listen to God, not just talk at him. Stalkers need to engage the emotional side in prayer and not just their minds. As I say, I've only just been able to scratch the surface of what, for me, was certainly pretty fundamental. And there's whole traditions, rich traditions within church and within the church history that I guess kind of captures many of these. There's many good things, good resources that I've come across. So anything from Lyndall Bywater, her books on resources, as well as Philip Yancey's book. I think it can be best described as an anthology of people's experiences of prayer. But I hope if there's just one thing that you take away from this evening, is that there's no one proper way to pray. The Lord has made you how you are, and he needs you to be praying to your strengths as well as growing in those other areas as well. And then the final thing to say is like with any picture that we have in teaching, it will only go so far. So I urge you to take what is useful and to ignore what is not. And it might well be that you are a sunbather who likes to surf from time to time. I know that I'm definitely one and a bit of another and definitely not a third. So take what's useful. Perhaps a challenge this week is to try one that you don't think you are and to see if you may be or not, or definitely know that's not you. But anyway, that's that. Over to you, Rose.
So we just wanted to give a little bit of time for discussion now with the people around you.